Thank you, Brother Ron, for those kind expressions. I appreciate them deeply. It's wonderful to be associated in the stand this evening with my brother on Grandparents' Day. I think that wasn't mentioned this morning at our church service at the Y. And I just happened to think, why, this is Grandparents' Day. And when I look out over this congregation and see the number of grandparents that are before me, I know they all appreciate not only Children's Day, that's the first one that I remember of a Sunday being dedicated to particular people. And Children's Day has always had a very close spot in my heart. And then I got acquainted with Mother's Day. And I was always proud when I was a little boy to wear a red rose to church in honor of my mother. Then later on came Father's Day. And now comes Grandparents' Day. And I'm glad that we have a day to celebrate and honor our grandparents, because most certainly they deserve to be honored. But we're not here to honor grandparents or parents or children. We're here this evening to honor our Heavenly Father and His Son, Jesus Christ, who came to bring to us a message of salvation, a message of joy, a message of peace, a message of hope, which the world is losing rapidly. And that should stir us up to the point that we should be each day even more dedicated to the responsibility which God has placed upon us. When we went down into the waters of baptism, that we might be cleansed of our sins and made whole, and that we might move out in newness of life to serve our Lord and our Redeemer. I'm impressed as time goes on with the great need that the world has by the evidence of the things that are going on in the world, of their need to know the purpose for which they came into the world. And the hope that is held out to us that we might look forward to something beyond this life, which makes it worthwhile for us to bear up under the trials and the tribulations which are so great. And my brother and my sister, we have a responsibility of letting the light that is within us shine forth ever more brightly day by day. And I'm grateful not only for the promises which God has made to us, but I'm grateful for brothers and sisters, the family of Jesus Christ, to assist me, to help me, to encourage me in that walk before Him. I'm glad that our brother Ron mentioned a few moments ago about the need that our brother Alvin Harris has tomorrow, that which he has to face tonight. That's the reason he's not here. He's making preparation tonight for that ordeal through which he must pass tomorrow. And having passed through it myself, I know that it's an ordeal. And it's something that isn't looked forward to with any joy or elation. But there's a certain dread of it. And so I hope that we will take to heart the admonition or the request to remember our brother Alvin in our prayers. Now, he's not the only one that needs our prayers. Our sister Becky, my words don't always come out right. But I guess I'm not alone, so I'm not going to be overly embarrassed by it, but it does embarrass me. Our sister Becky has gone through an ordeal so recently whereby our Heavenly Father has heard the prayers that have gone up in her behalf, whereby she was relieved amazingly, according to her own testimony, of that which might have been far worse. Just take a look at her left hand and see if it isn't quite an ordeal. And I haven't gone through that, but I've known some that have. So in our remembering Brother Alvin, let us not forget others, and there are many. But our prayers availeth much before our Heavenly Father's throne. You know, in the Scripture it says, the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. And I don't know that there are very many, if any of us, who can hold ourselves up as an example of great righteousness. Because we're told that our righteousness is as filthy rags. Nevertheless, because of our faith in the promises of our Lord through Jesus Christ, we are accounted, when we humble ourselves before God and repent of our sins, as righteous. And as time passes and the calendar keeps showing the added years that are coming upon each one of us, we realize that the time is coming nearer when we shall end our life here on earth and return to God who gave us, that we might stand in His presence and be judged of the deeds done in our flesh. And these things should rest heavily upon our minds and upon our hearts, to the point of making us aware of what God requires of you and me. We can't brag about our righteousness. Therefore, we should be humble. And we're told in the Holy Writ that God gave weaknesses unto man that they might be humble. And men are that they might have joy. That's what He wants for you and me, is joy. And I think that we should take comfort from that and rejoice in our striving to serve God and to keep His commandments. I want to turn to a favorite scripture that just occurs to me. And it isn't anything new, and I don't intend to bring anything new to you. The only thing I can do this evening is to remind us of that which we already know. And that is to serve God and keep His commandments. And the importance of it and the consequence of ignoring it. Because sometimes we are tempted to ignore it. Sometimes we're caught off guard. We heard the speaker say this morning at the Y, something that we all need to keep in mind, and that is we are all affected by human nature. I don't think Brother Roger used the term human nature. I'm not sure that he didn't, but he surely talked about it. And I enjoyed it. Human nature. What is human nature? Where did it start? Where did it come from? Well, it started with the beginning of humanity. And that was in the Garden of Eden. But actually, it had its roots somewhere else. It had its roots in heaven. When one of the most beautiful angels that God ever created, I say that because of the description that was given of Lucifer, the son of the morning. And I think we should think about that title that he wore, the son of the morning. What is sun? One created. You and I are sons and daughters of God. We were created by Him. We came into this life as a tiny little squirming, wiggling piece of humanity with a tiny little voice that suddenly turned into a lustful cry for breath and for food. But this individual was created beautiful. He was early in the morning of God's creation. And one day, he became envious of God's power and desired that he might have it himself. And he went after it. And we know the story, how he was able to draw one third of the host of heaven to his side. Think of the power that was expressed there that this individual had to draw away one third of the angels of heaven. And he brought that influence to humanity. And human nature is his work. So, we're all affected by it. We're all troubled by it. And the whole world today is in turmoil because of it. We have how many boys across in Arabia right now awaiting with gun in hand for an attack. Our own boys are over there. We thought 50 years ago maybe we would have done away with all this sort of thing. And yet we knew right down deep that it wasn't so. The whole world is in turmoil, and we're all affected by it. It not only affects our living from day to day, but it affects what we eat. It affects our transportation. It affects every facet of our living. Human nature. I want to turn to John and read a bit of Jesus' words as he spoke to his disciples, that they might write it down, and not only write it down, but teach it to those with whom they come in contact, and to pass it on to you and me. Because it's important to you and me right now, at this very moment. I am the vine. I am the true vine. And my Father is the husbandman. He tends the garden, doesn't he? Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. That more is important. You and I should be bearing more fruit day by day. How? By submitting our wills unto God in everything. Now, everything doesn't leave out anything. Your desire and my desire should be for the glory of God totally. And if we do anything that's not for His glory and praise, we'd better take a good, hard look at it and consider carefully. Whether or not we should partake in it. Oh, that's a hard one, isn't it? Now ye are clean. And when we came out of the waters of baptism, as Brother Ron was speaking of tonight, we were clean. Why? Because God said so. That was a promise. Are we still clean? Did we get our hands dirty? Did we take hold of something that was filthy? Well, we're still affected by human nature, aren't we? Let's see if we are. Let's take a look back over our lives. I'm going to look at mine. And let's each one of us look back at what we did yesterday. Or today. But let's take yesterday. Today's Sunday. We ought to be relaxed enough on Sunday to do a little better than we did on Saturday, we might say. Don't we excuse ourselves that way sometimes? But Saturday shouldn't be a bit different from Sunday. Except this. The Lord said that the Sabbath day should be holy, and what we do, we should be doing for Him. But that doesn't excuse us from doing the things that we should do for Him on Saturday either. But let's go back to yesterday. Let's search through our minds and our thoughts and did you speak a harsh word to anybody yesterday? I see a few smiles. I see some pretty straight faces. And I'm not going to try to interpret. What caused it? If you did it, what caused it? Now then, I'm going to go a little broader. Let's go back further than just last Saturday, yesterday. Let's go back a few days before that or sometime before. Have you ever spoken sharply, unkindly to somebody? Why? Well, if you haven't, God be praised. I just have to put it that way. God be praised. Because that is praising God. But I think that we could all say that we have spoken sharply. What caused us to speak sharply? Because we got our feelings aroused, that natural man begin to come up and show himself. Isn't that right? Psychologists will tell you, oh, that's good. Yeah, you need to get it out of your system. What did Jesus Christ say? Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me. What does it mean to abide? That means remain, stay, live. Abide in me and I in you. You think Christ was in you when you spouted off because you got your feathers ruffled, so to speak, or something didn't go just right? No, he wasn't there, was he? Mm-mm. No, it doesn't work that way. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. You and I by ourselves cannot bear fruit, except evil fruit. And he's not talking about evil fruit. He's talking about fruit to lay up against the season which is to come after we leave this life. Our works are going to follow us. A lot of people don't like that. A lot of people turn their back on it, but it doesn't make it any different. It still is there. And we're going to have to answer for that very thing. Sometime. Now we have two opportunities. The first opportunity is in this life through repentance. And the other is after we stand before God to be judged of the deeds that we do. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. That puts it right straight on Well, as the vernacular of the day in a lot of places, that puts the monkey on my back, doesn't it? That responsibility is squarely on your shoulders. And that's where it is. Because you're making the decision. You and I were born to make a decision. And we're making it every day, whether we like it or not. And that decision is, we're either following Jesus Christ, or we're doing just like Lucifer did in heaven, and that is rebellion. And the question is, every time I have a decision to make, I'm either going to stand by that which I know to be right and just, or I'm going to rebel against that which is right and just. Because why? Because I want it that way. How many times have you thought, I do what I want to do? Oh, no, I don't, somebody says. Oh, yes, but you do. We have decisions to make, and we make them. We may make them because somebody puts a lot of force on us, but we make them in order to stay in good graces of that individual who's trying to put the force on us. I read a few days ago a most awful, thing. People who are taken in by Satanism. It's almost too awful to even consider and think about in church. But we'd better think about it, because it's out there, and your children and mine, or grandchildren, whatever it might be, or great-grandchildren, wherever it might fall, are up against it when they go out among their peers. The things which are done in these ceremonies, sacrifices, animal sacrifices, torture, that they might get used to seeing things suffer and even enjoy seeing things suffer. And it goes from animal sacrifice to human sacrifice. And after they get so far down in this, whatever we might like to name it, as awful as it is, in this watching other people suffer, then they start in on themselves until suicide is the result. Where did it come from? Why, from Satan himself. Lucifer, who fell and became Satan. Rebellion against God, that's what it is. And it's making inroads so rapidly in our society today that it is alarming. And don't think it can't make its inroads into the church if we drop our guard. That's scary, isn't it? Yes, it's scary. But we'd better be ready for it. Now, I heard this morning in some discussion that there are certain instances of persecution to the church because we are trying to build or are getting ready to build a new building on the temple lot. The Lord didn't say that our life was going to be free of persecution. He never said that at all. He never inferred that it would be. But if you and I strive to serve God, you can depend on it that we're going to have to go through a time of persecution. Now, I know that's a very distasteful term for anybody to anticipate. But my brother and my sister, if we are true to God, to keep His commandments, don't think that Satan isn't going to bear his awful self against us. What happened to Jesus Christ when he went down to Jordan to be baptized of John? He went into the wilderness for 40 days to be tempted of the devil. He went through it, but it didn't stop with the 40 days, did it? I was surprised one day when I read one of the books of the gospel that I don't concentrate on. I'll have to say, Matthew and John are my favorite Gospels. Mark and Luke, I've more or less, I've read them, sure. But I haven't put my attention so much on them. And one day I got a surprise. Because Jesus thanked his 12 for being with him through the days of his tribulation. I believe it says temptation. You think you and I are going to get by with any less? No, we're not. No, we're not. But I want to read on. Fifth verse of the 15th chapter says this: I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. And that's what he wants. For without me, ye can do nothing. Now, he meant by that, you can do nothing. That's good. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Those branches, and you and I, he says, are the branches. And if we don't bring forth fruit, we're going to be plucked off and cast into the fire. And we need to remember that. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you. What are his words? All the instruction that he has given to you and me in his written word. But that isn't all. Because he gives you and me, if we abide in him, instruction. And when we abide by that instruction, wonderful things happen. I remember by my brethren, many of whom have already passed on, and I'm sure you remember having heard such yourselves, but I only want to remind you that I'm going to say he, because I want to focus on an individual, any individual who has had the experience. He was impressed to do a certain thing and didn't know why. But it was there. You go do it. And he went. Well, let me give you one. I'll just get down to a specific. It just occurred to me. Many of you didn't know Brother S.J. Madden, but he was an elder in the Church of Christ when I was, from about the time I was about 20 till I think around 35 years of age, and he died. He knew some of the old men of the Restoration that we read about in the history books, church history. Brother Madden was a very splendid old person, old fellow. He had a white beard. Wasn't quite as long as my grandfather's, because his came down almost to his belt. But Brother Madden's was about so long. Hair, white, beautiful. And he'd stand up in the congregation so many times, get up and tears would roll down his cheeks. And he'd say, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, praise the Lord." And it came from the bottom of his heart, because the Lord had blessed him so much. But when he was a young man, he lived up in Iowa, just a little north of the Missouri line, but not very far, in a little town of Davis, or close to Davis City. And I think we used to pass it going to Des Moines. I don't know. I think it's off the trail now. Little town. He came home from work one night tired, and he lay down on a little bench or a little couch in front of the window while his wife finished supper. And as he lay there, he said the Spirit spoke to him and said, "Get up and go to Davis City." And he thought, "Well, there's no reason for me to get up and go to Davis City." So he relaxed. In a few minutes came the same admonition, as though somebody had spoke the words, "Get up and go to Davis City." Well, it disturbed him. "Well, there's nothing going on in Davis City." Davis City was a town of about 200 people. Maybe not that many. There wasn't anything going on in that town. It was just like a lot of other little towns. And I thought, "Oh, my imagination's running away with me." The third time came this admonition, "Get up and go to Davis City." So he called his wife and he said, whatever her name was, I can't remember it now. Do you happen to remember it? He called her my name and said, "The Lord has told me to get up and go to Davis City." Well, she said, "Well, Silas, if the Lord has told you to go to Davis City, then you'd better go." So supper was ready, and he ate his supper, and he started out. He had to walk. Oh, it was 2 or 3 miles after a hard day's work. That's the reason he didn't want to go. After all, he was tired. He went to Davis City, and there was a railroad crew working on that section of the track. And the day was over, and they needed something to do, and somebody had announced that there would be a meeting in the town hall. Now, at that time, all little towns had a town hall where they had community meetings for this reason, that reason, or some other reason. Frank, we used to have one out at Martin City. Don't know whether you were ever in it or not. Before your time. Well, I'll tell you what happened. The big wind that hit Jackson County back in 1951 that came through and wiped out Hickman Mills, blew it away toward them. A whole hall full of railroad men that needed to be told the gospel of Jesus Christ were waiting to hear a preacher. And the preacher hadn't shown up. And Brother Madden had to fill the bill. But he knew nothing about it until that moment. We need to be listening. I remember when I was a little boy, I hadn't been baptized very long. I was only 11 years old. And I lay on the grass waiting for the cows to come. At that time, we lived in a town down here in Kansas, central Kansas, way out there. And most everybody had a cow. We'd just come off of the farm not too long before, and we couldn't get along without a cow. There was a man in town who on his horse would drive the cows that different people had. In the morning, he'd drive them out to the pasture. In the evening, he'd bring them back and distribute them, and it was our job to go and meet him and get our own cows and take them home. I was lying there thinking about some of the things that had been told to me, this, that, and the other. And a voice spoke to me and said, Nicholas, don't think about those things. Put those things out of your mind. What was it? And I listened. And I listened. But what if I hadn't listened? What would have been the result if I hadn't listened? It would have been a disaster. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Do you believe that, brothers and sisters? If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will. And it shall be done. Do we believe that? Do we have confidence? In that promise. Now, if we don't, there's something wrong. And it isn't with our Heavenly Father. There's only one place we can put the blame, and that's right here in the middle. Oh, what wonderful promises the Lord has given to us. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. What is a disciple? Why, it's a believer, a follower. And we all want to be disciples, don't we? Of course we do. That's the reason here tonight. And brother and sister, there is only one way we can do it, and that is to abide in that promise which we've made. Is it worth it? I can't help but remember. Excuse me. I can't help but remember something that was said to me, and yet it wasn't a voice I heard as you hear mine, but it just might as well have been. And I voiced it in this room before, and I'm going to voice it again, in case somebody's here and hadn't heard me voice it. I'm not going into all the details. Time is about up, and I don't want to hold you. But I had an experience that shook me in the middle of the night. It was 15 minutes to 12 o'clock one night. And what it said was this: what would you give to have oil in your lamp? What is eternal life worth to you? What would you give up of the things that you have, that you might have the assurance within you that when you leave this life, you are going to be received with open arms by our Lord and Savior? Now, a lot of people think, well, that's a lack of faith. No, that isn't a lack of faith. That's a reality. Because he says, not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom, but he that doeth the will of my Father. Brothers and sisters, there's a challenge, and I'm not giving it. The challenge is given by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. A woman came to Jesus and said, when you come to your kingdom, will you let my two sons have a special place with you, one on your right hand and one on your left? You know the story. Are you able to be baptized at the baptism that I'm baptized with, he said? Oh, yes. Yeah, we're able. He said, but to give as you have requested is not mine to give, but to those for whom it has been prepared. Those on the right hand are those who are found to be faithful. Those on the left hand are those who were not faithful. Brothers and sisters, we've got a lot of friends that need to know that. Are we letting them know it? It's life and death, and we don't want to see any of them die. But We don't want to see ourselves die. Let us, with determination, go forth and serve God to the very best of our ability. And I remember one time, many of you remember Brother Anderson, and some of you don't, maybe, because he's been gone quite a while. But he had an experience while he was working sorting fruit. He was over a big group of people who were sorting fruit in California. And they were, as the fruit passed in front of them on the belt, they were to pick out all the defective ones and lay them aside so that what went the end of that belt were perfect. And when they went down a belt that took them downstairs to the packing room, he got a call from downstairs. And they said, "You're letting too much get by that should have been picked up." And he said, "We're doing the best we can do." And you know what the answer was? Your best is not good enough. And sometimes we think we're doing our best, don't we? But I wonder if our best is really our best. Brothers and sisters, we need each other's help. I need your help. And I'm going to tell you right now, I appreciate the help that you gave me and have given me for a long while. 11 years ago, I was in a fix something like Alvin's is tonight. Only I didn't know just well. I thought I had a certain ailment. The doctor thought I had a certain ailment, which I did. And when I went for the removal of the problem, he discovered by an examination such as Alvin's going to take in the morning that I had a malignant tumor inside me. I guess the word got around pretty fast, because I know a lot of prayers went up for me. And after 11 and a half years later, nearly 11 and a half, I'm still here rejoicing with you over the blessings of Almighty God. He heard your prayers. And I'm grateful to you. But I need your prayers even now, that I might hold on faithful to the end. And I want to assure you that before I go to bed at night, and many times before I get out of my room in the morning, my prayers are for each of you and for all God's children, because I know what it means to be prayed for. Let us hold each other up. Let us discount the finding fault. Let's look for the good, and let's be a blessing to our brothers and sisters, and let us hold fast to the rod of iron, the Word of God, that leads to the tree of life. May God bless you is my prayer.